When we talk about water in the San Joaquin Valley, it's often to highlight water problems like dry wells, contaminated drinking water, or more recently, toxic algae in lakes and reservoirs. But the news isn't all bad. Local advocate Susana DeAnda recently won an award from the White House for her work bringing clean water to Valley communities. FM 89's Carrie Klein sat down with DeAnda at her office in Visalia and brings us this interview.
So, Susana, you're the co-founder and the co-director of the Community Water Center. What does the Community Water Center do?
Community Water Center believes that clean water is a basic human right and it should not be a privilege. So on a daily basis, we work to ensure that we bring about equity to all Californians. Our mission is to be a catalyst for community water-driven solutions through organizing, advocacy, and education.
What are some of the biggest issues that keep cropping up that you find yourself dealing with here at the center?
You know, unfortunately, every year over 1 million Californians are exposed to illegal and unsafe levels of contaminants found in their drinking water. In addition to that, we're paying for some really expensive water rates for toxic water. What that means is that our hardworking familias are having to pay twice for water for a toxic water bill, and in addition to that, having to find additional drinking water just to have safe drinking water in the home. It is not okay to have nitrates in your water. It is not safe to have arsenic or 1-2-3 TCP or anything of that nature in your drinking water. It's just not safe, and it shouldn't be there.
And so we're speaking today because the White House recently named you a champion of change for climate equity. So first off, what is climate equity and how does that specifically fit into the work you do here at the Community Water Center?
You know, climate equity means that we're bringing about solutions to people impacted by climate change in a way that's practical and real. We have to really sit around the table and figure out solutions that are going to be applicable to the unique conditions of our communities. That's equity. And having the honor of receiving this award really has helped us continue to amplify the work that we have at a different scale. It's important that nationwide we connect with other organizations and advocates and residents to understand what is your drinking water quality. And I think it's important to recognize that climate change is very real, and it's happening right now with a lot of our community partners. You know, a lot of families right now in California don't have running water. And I think it's important to understand that water quality and water supply go hand in hand. And it's not to say that climate change has just happened right now because we have a lot of wells that have gone dry. No, a lot of residents, a lot of schools don't have safe drinking water. And that's a huge direct correlation with climate change. Things are changing. And again, it is our poorest families who are exposed to this injustice who need to be at the forefront for resources and leverage attention so that we don't have to continue to condemn future families to live with this condition.
Well, going back to you individually, I mean, this is not the first time that you have been singled out for your accomplishments, for your drive for social justice. You won a big award in 2009, the Petro Award, which is for unsung heroes who fight for social change. Newsweek in 2012 named you one of its 150 fearless women in the world. You've been featured in documentaries and books. Is this award just kind of the same old for you?
No, every award is a blessing, and I'm really grateful for the recognitions that we're getting. I'm very privileged to do what I do. It's a true honor to work towards sustainable solutions to bring about change for our communities that don't have safe drinking water. Every award and every recognition, every platform that we have, we're going to continue to leverage it to bring attention and solutions to the area. It is not okay that in 2016 we continue to condemn future generations and current generations to live with this condition of fearing that they're going to become sick if they drink tap water. That is just not okay, and no one needs to live like that.
So what drives this for you? How did you get involved in this community advocacy, in this environmental advocacy to begin with?
When I originally met Laurel Firestone, I was an organizer with Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment, and I learned a lot from her in terms of all the reports that she was looking at in terms of water quality problems across the Central Valley. And when we just started door knocking and asking residents, do you know your water quality? Do you drink it? What do you do about that? It was very clear to me that people are so ready for change and opportunities to bring about solutions in their community. And when you see that magic that the most impacted residents understand that it's wrong and they only need a little bit of help to figure out solutions and opportunities, they're more than ready to do that. And now you can't go back. We're here to the end. We're here to ensure that every Californian every day has access to safe, clean, and running water.
And so a lot of the communities that you work with, they have water contaminated with arsenic, with nitrates. They don't have access, perhaps, to other sources of clean water. So it sounds simple enough. They don't have clean water. Let's give it to them. But what are the challenges of actually doing that?
You know, unfortunately, this is not an issue of just a classic engineering problem. It's an issue of access to adequate resources and resources that are going to be applicable and useful for communities. Many times, a lot of the public water systems are functioning with old and dilapidated infrastructure, wells that are contaminated. So they themselves also need major resources to ensure that they can provide safe drinking water to their constituents.
Can you give some specific examples of some of the big campaigns on your plate?
Yes. So we have a couple of campaigns. One, we want to make sure that we continue to really propel groundwater ordinances and reform. You know, it's really important to understand that we have two sources of water. We have surface water and groundwater. And unfortunately, our groundwater has been overpumped and overused. And one of our campaigns is to ensure that we bring about sustainability to our groundwater sources and really focus here in Tulare County to ensure that we provide an emergency groundwater ordinance that ultimately limits the amount of water that's being used and really think about using it responsibly and to ensure that, you know, humans are not negatively impacted when we're doing major overdraft. In addition to that, we have a huge campaign to really set forward an MCL on 123 DCP.
And what's an MCL?
Maximum contaminant level. This is a serious contaminant found in our drinking water. We want to make sure that we have an MCL so we can start to regulate that contaminant and to inform the consumer. In addition to East Porterville, East Porterville has been highlighted a number of times around the drought. And, you know, it's important that we realize that we have major negative impacts that are being felt by many residents, but it's also important that we highlight the solutions, right? So even though currently in East Porterville we have many families without running water, I'm happy to say that this month we're going to start connecting the first ones, right? And I think, once again, you know, it's important to work short-term and long-term, but again, we have to have that vision, and I really believe that through organizing and advocacy, we bring about change.
Great. Okay. Well, Susana DeAnda, thank you so much.
Thank you.